Wake up. The altar, the offering plate is right outside of my office. There's two of them because I believe we're going to have an over an abundance of money today. That's all the prosperity messages I got. Just kidding. But if you want to leave an offering or a tithe right out in front of our office, there is a place to do that. So please, if you feel led to do that, please do. John chapter 15, 1 through about verse 10. There's going to be kind of two messages this morning. Some of y'all are scared already. Don't be. It's the message that's there and then the message that's kind of not there, but God gave me a couple, probably about seven, eight years ago. I preached this message is don't confuse your winter season for God not caring. I thought y'all would say amen there or something. And what I mean by winter seasons is I mean winter seasons, actually, you know, a 3 or 4 month period, a winter season in your life where you're down in the winter of your life and or a period of time in your life that you just don't feel like you're being very fruitful for God. I think for me, I can say this without a shadow of a doubt, 2020 has seemed like a winter season for me. The last few months have felt like a winter season. And I had to remind myself through the Spirit of God and through His Word what I'm going to preach this morning. So if you don't need this today, you might really want to pay attention or go back and listen to it because you're going to need this. Because some of you might be sitting here this morning and you might be on this spiritual high, which is great. You think, man, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always producing fruit. I'm always good with God. I thought like that before. I have. I mean, man, I went on like an 8-year run where I thought, man, if I get any more on fire, I'm going to light some people else. We're going to burn the thing down. And I hit my first winter season. I was sitting there going, what do I do? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just now coming. I don't know if that might be premature. I don't even know if I'm coming out of a winter season. But I've been in one for a while. So I'm going to preach to myself and hope y'all catch some residual off that. And I just wanted to use the word residual. Have y'all found John chapter 15 yet? If you haven't, repent. All right, let's go. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Listen to this. This is no more black and white this. He goes, I am the true vine and my Father is the husband. Jesus is the branch in the grove. He is the main thing in the world. Amen? He is the most important thing in the world. He's the most valuable thing in the world. He is the thing that if you don't have Him, you really don't have anything. Amen? You can have life, but you don't even know what life is until you have Him. Amen? You're only half living without Jesus. I remember when they were coming down from Jericho and they found a man who was half dead. Amen. Y'all remember? The thieves jumped him and left him naked and half dead. I've been naked and half dead before. Amen. Unclothed spiritually and half dead spiritually. And praise God, there was a good Samaritan who came along the way and his name was Jesus. Amen. Healed all my wounds, covered my nakedness, and began to heal me from the inside out. Amen. I was half dead. Now I'm twice living. I'll only die once, but I'll live forever. Amen. Goodness gracious. Y'all need to shout or do just let loose. It'll be all right. That's Jesus. He's the most important thing. He's the royal diadem. Some of y'all sitting here this morning think, God, I don't know if God even thinks I'm important. Yeah, He thinks you're so important that He bankrupt heaven for you. He took the most important thing and had the royal diadem, the high and lifted up, the right hand of God, the power, the strength, the buckler, the shield, the whole thing. And He looked over and He said, I'm going to wrap you in flesh, put you in a womb, and send you to earth. And heaven stood bankrupt while He was purchasing your sin debt. Whew. Some of y'all need to shout every once in a while. You're sitting here right now, redeemed fully in Christ Jesus, and about as cold as a winter storm, amen? If you got Jesus, every once in a while, lift your little hand every once in a while and just say, thank God I got Him. Might not feel like it, might not look like it, might not seem like it, but praise God, I got Him. Amen? And if you really want to get spiritually correct right there, He's got me. He's got me. And the Father is the husbandman. God owns it all. God owns it all. Amen? The most important thing in the world is Jesus, and the one who runs it all is God. I'm glad he says it that way. He is the husband. That means he watches over every tree. Amen? He watches over every branch. He watches over every root. He knows. He controls everything. Some of y'all sitting there going, I feel like my life's out of control. Praise God, the one who is in control is watching your life. All you've got to do is seek him. Amen? Stop seeking everybody else's answer. Seek his. 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Ain't you glad? I'm going to get on that. This is one big crux of the message. But I'm going to tell you right now, God ain't afraid to cut on you. Hey, I could preach that for a minute right now. Hey, some things I understand more deeply. Amen? God ain't afraid to cut on you. He ain't afraid to come and take something out of your life that don't belong there, even if you like it. Even if you love it. Even if you get some kind of great pleasure out of it. Boy, he'll cut it away. Amen? Amen. And you can watch it fall to the ground. Whew. Man, y'all need, oh, goodness gracious. I hope I stay in the road today. What I mean is I hope I stay in front of y'all instead of going down the road preaching this stuff, because I got a fire in here, man. Now 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. You didn't get clean through religion. You didn't get clean because somebody took you to church. You didn't get clean because your mama or your daddy or your mother. You got clean because Jesus allowed some radical person to preach into your life the gospel of Jesus Christ. You repented and believed in him, and you are forgiven. Amen? That's how you get clean. You don't get clean by good works, and you don't get clean by doing better than everybody else. You don't get clean by comparing yourself to some other denomination or church. You get clean through the Word of God. It convicts. I think the Bible says it like this. It's like a two-edged sword. It cuts going in and cuts going out. Cuts into the deepest parts of who you are. Cuts into the recesses of your soul and your mind and your spirit. Cuts into the places of your thoughts and your thinking. Amen? It gets into a place where you thought about doing it, and you're sitting here in church going, how in the world did God get to the place where he knew what I was thinking? Because God's God, and he knows how to get down to the point. Amen. Whew. Are you clean to the Word of God? Amen. If you're not, you know what? It's a simple thing. It's a gift. It's a free gift of salvation. You don't have to wonder how to get saved. It's so easy, a child can do it. Amen. Let me explain it on a level like this. If you had a dollar bill or a $20 bill or any dollar bill in your pocket, and you were to sit here and go, look, I'm going to give this away to the first child that runs up here, guess what? Every kid in here would run up here like their hair was on fire. And you know what? They would simply receive the gift and say thank you for it and go to their seat, and they would spend it however they want to spend it. Amen. That's how kids operate. Amen. That's what God said when it comes to salvation. If you know it's a good thing, come like a child, receive it like a child, take it like a child, live it like a child. Never mind. I ain't even got to the part where I want to preach yet, but you know, I'm glad we're here. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I want to tell you this, and I want you to hear this down in your heart. Christianity is an inside job. You will never get right trying to be one. I'm trying to do better. Yeah, I did that for a long time. I tried, man. I tried to do better. I tried to get it right. I tried to clean up. I tried not to. But praise God, every time I would go right back to the thing that I said I'd never do again. I'll never. I promise God, if you don't do this, I'll never. If you bless me, I'll never. If you do this, if you take this punishment away, I'll never. God, I just never. I just feel guilty in the house of God because they're preaching and they're talking about my sin. Oh, God, I'll never again. But praise God, if you don't get saved, guess what? You're headed back, sis. You're headed back, brother. You're going back there, and you'll be laying in it, smoking on it, licking it, tasting it, touching it. Y'all looking at me like, oh, I can't believe you're saying that in here. Well, the show you watched last night was worse than that. No spiritual. I was just watching the news. That's the worst. Amen. Verse 5, I am in the vine and you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. I want to tell you this right now. If Jesus gets on the inside of you, can't help it. I wish our church would get a dose of more I can't help it. Amen. No, listen, this is what I mean when he says, I am the vine, you're a branch, and you can't do anything without me. So you can't be a Christian without him. But guess what happens if you get saved? Listen, if you really get saved, you can't help it. All of a sudden you get hooked up to Jesus. Jesus is on the inside. And all of a sudden that sap, that fruit, that stuff that makes all the good stuff come out of you, it gets hooked up and it starts coming up and it starts in your toes and hits you in the nose. Amen. Amen. I just wanted to rhyme, but it comes through there, and praise God, all of a sudden you start doing things that nobody, people start looking at you and go, why aren't you cussing anymore? He said, I don't know how to cuss anymore. I do, but it's the words won't come. I want to say blessings instead of cursings. Why are you not looking at this anymore? I don't look at that anymore because God in here brings a conviction on the inside. Why are you going out to help somebody? Why are you reading your Bible? Why are you praying? Why are you going to the homeless shelter? Why do you want to help those that are less than? Why do you all of a sudden care about the broken? Why? Somebody asked me one time, how do you know you're saved? Because I care about people that I used not to care about because I only cared about myself. I was only thinking about how I could do me better, amen? But when I got saved, I looked at everybody else and said, you know what? They need help, amen? So you stand in places and do things, and people are wondering why you're there. You're there because somebody rescued you. Because Jesus got on the inside of you and you can't help it. Why you testify, why you worship, why you praise, why you get excited in church. Somebody said, why don't you just calm down? I'd calm down if I could! But there's something on the inside that won't calm down, won't quieten down, won't sit down. I can't help myself because it's Jesus. When Jesus gets around Jesus, when Jesus gets around the Holy Spirit, when Jesus gets around the spiritual flame, he just wants to show out. The Bible says he inhabits our praises. He says it like this. He said he swells up in our praises. You wonder why God ain't big in your presence? Because you ain't praised him enough. Amen? Well, when am I supposed to praise him? Good times, bad times, and everywhere in between. Amen? Jonah figured it out in a whale's belly. When are you going to figure it out? Covered in slime, covered in dead sea weed and dead fish and everything else, and he's riding on the bottom of the ocean in the bottom of a whale, and he's sitting there going, you know what? Maybe if I turn myself to Jesus. Some of y'all are lower than whale's bellies. Why don't you try something different? Turn to Jesus. Cry out in your broken marriage. Cry out in your broken life. Broken things in your family. Broken jobs. Broken anything. Whatever's broken. Praise. Won't you just turn around and say, well, I wonder which way Jesus is. I don't even know which way is up because I'm in the well. I'm in a dark place. I'm in a stinky place. I'll just turn which way. That's good enough. Hey, Jesus, if you can get Jonah out of a whale's belly, can you get me out of my mess? Amen. He can't, oh my God, can he? And if he don't get you out, if he don't get you out, Debbie, he'll come and get in it with you. If he can't get you out of it, he'll get in it with you. Man, I wish I could tell you I don't know that by experience, but I do now. He might not get you out of the room, but he'll get in it. He might not get you out of the fire, but he'll walk in it. Whew. Three Hebrew boys are standing in a fire, and they're like, man, we're surely dead now. But all of a sudden, somebody else got in the fire with them. Whew. Has Jesus ever walked in the fire with you? Amen? He will. Praise God. If he don't get you right out, he's going to come on in. Amen. Oh, man, I wish I'd get to the message, right? Are you glad you showed up on Sunday morning? Amen. Verse 6, if a man abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I love this right here. I want you to hear this, and I hate being this plain, and I hate being this straightforward, but in 2020, we need it. Matter of fact, we needed it 10 years ago and 10 years prior to that. Listen, if you are not in Christ Jesus and you pass away, then guess what? You will be carried away into a place called hell and eternal separation from God. And you know what? There is no coming back from that. I don't care where you are today. I don't care what you've done today. I don't care if you're high now or got substance in your body today. I don't care if you're in a bad relationship today and you're not supposed to be there. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care if you're a liar, a thief, or a fornicator, an adulterer. I don't care about all of that stuff. What I mean by that is having sex outside of marriage. I want to tell you this. I don't care what kind of situation you're in. I don't care if you're mean-spirited, hard-hearted, backbiting, lying. I don't care if you're a murmurer and a complainer. I don't care if you're a gossip. Just ruin the altar call. But guess what? I don't care either way. Gossips never come to the altar call. They should. They talk about everybody else. Why wouldn't they talk about their problems? just come to the altar, surrender who you are, and ask God to forgive you. You know why? Because He wants to. But if you pass from this life to the next life, not loving your brothers and sisters, praise God, guess what? Not loving God, not loving your brothers and sisters as you are, you will be separated from God for eternity. You will be cast away. And you're sitting here right now. If anybody's feeling that urge to come and pray for salvation, don't wait for me to finish this sermon and say, well, I'll go when the altar calls. You need to start getting up and coming this way before that. Some of you are screaming out, I need salvation. I need somebody to save me. I'm really looking for the Lord. If you're really looking for the Lord, He'll make Himself known and found. Praise God. He will stand on the side of the road. He said, give me a sign. He'll give you about 1,000 of them. Some of y'all need to pull over and say, God, stop with all the signs. I get it. And that concludes that part of the message. Hey, Kyle, will you put that picture up for me, please? Now I'm going to be preaching to the church. Now that's to the lost people and the church, but this is to the church about a winter season. And if you haven't been through a winter season or you're not in a winter season, be prepared. You're going to be in a winter season sometime. And I'm going to try to help you through the winter season in your life. All right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just pray right now in your spirit. Say, God, thank you for the advanced warning. And if you are in a winter season, say, thank you for the help now. Amen. See, do y'all see this tree? These are for my friends at Apple, Wooden's Apple House. Y'all know Mark and Chubby? Well, Mark and Chubby, they're good friends of mine. And I don't like to name, you know, throw names out like that, but I know some people, you know. I sent them a message, and it was amazing. I said, would you send me a picture of an apple tree right now with the apples just loaded down on it? Do y'all see that? You know what's crazy about that? I've not contacted either one of them in like maybe six years since 2016. And I sent them, and you know what? The day I sent this message to them to send me a picture, they had a professional photographer there taking pictures of their tree that day. So they sent their professional photographer picture to me. So right here is I'm going to give you an example of what you will not look like in your winter season. Okay? But sometimes, if we're not mistaken, we can get super spiritual and we can act like we're that way when we're not. Hey, man, I've always got fruit just hanging off of me. That's the way God wants you to be as a Christian, right? And if you are a good, if you let Jesus, God, I don't want to preach all this, but this is really good. If you let Jesus really work in your life and God, you'll produce fruit like that. You'll have stuff just coming off of you every which way because the Father, that's what He wants. Amen? But when I took that picture, don't be super spiritual sometimes, because have you ever been in a situation where somebody else is just loaded down with fruit and you're sitting over there and you're not? Well, I have. Well, let me just say it this way. I am. Amen? And I'm looking over, and I'm just saying, there are people getting saved, there are people living, still doing this. I'm sitting around going, like, my goodness, I ain't got a leaf, I ain't got a fruit, I ain't even got no coverage. Amen. No flower, no fruit. Y'all good? Y'all be careful. All right, take that down, Kyle, because if we don't, we'll be distracted. Everybody will be looking at that and saying, that's who I am, super Christian. Hey, if you're a super Christian, you got the cape and everything, praise God, you can go on home. Amen. You can. It wouldn't bother me. But if you're like me, amen, the winter season comes and it can hit any time. Amen. It can hit any time. It can hit when you're halfway through building a brand new building for a sanctuary. Know anything about that? Do you? It can happen like as your church is growing faster than it's ever grown before. Amen. Somebody can just come in to walk in the walkway and say, hey, we probably could be shutting down church for the next whole year and not visiting maybe sparsely on Sundays. And you can laugh on the inside. I laughed. I said, hang on. You can hear somebody say, I don't know if a lot of people are ever going to come back to church. Psst. And now I'm sitting there going, is anybody ever going to come back to church? Amen. Winter season. So this winter season, I started thinking about it, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to know something about winter. The winter season is when the tree owner, let's call him the farmer, God brings in agriculture. Thanks, Donnie. You could have helped me out any moment there. He brings agriculture up in this message. He brings it up all through the Bible. It is a very simple, it's a simple ideology, but very complex. Johnny, come on, man. Lamar, I threw you a softball, man. You could have just killed it. Amen. I see you, Eric. I see you back there. All of you Hughes have let me down today. I struggle with agriculture. I throw you a softball and say, man, farming is simple, but man, is it complicated. Oh, thanks, Caitlin. The only teacher in the whole group. She learned quick. But what I'm telling you is God brought it up. And you know what? Agriculture, to be in agriculture, you got to be a meteorologist, a geologist, and you got to be a gambler. No, I'm serious. I don't know if they talk about this, but they're like, we got 100,000 plants in the ground. They cost $2 or $3 each plant. And I'm sort of, and that can be destroyed by anything and everything. Hailstorm, frost, too much water, too little water, too much sun, not enough. Amen, preacher, that's pretty good. Y'all, I'm telling you, I ain't never going to get another message like this. And y'all sit back there quiet. I know how you are. So God brings it in. He wants you to explain something like this. If he compares agriculture, then guess what? We can use the whole thing, right? So guess what? Every season, there's a winter season. So I started figuring out, you know what happens in a winter season in an apple orchard? And that's what God put me close to. I wish he'd put me near a grape orchard or a vineyard, but he didn't. So he put me into something that's very close to that. Is he put me in an apple orchard right outside of one. We were on the outskirts of the apple orchard over there. And I just watched. In the winter season is when the tree owners do the most work on the tree. Write this down. The tree is naked, no flowers, no leaves, and no fruit. And they are ugly. They are. And you just ride over there in the wintertime. You can drive. You stay on this road and go all the way over to the apple house. You start riding by in the wintertime. The trees are pretty ugly. They don't look like all the trees. They're short, stubby, kind of fat. Spiritual, that hurt me. Sorry. It's hard to say that word. They're out like this. They're short at the top, and their leaves, they're all shaped about the same. They all kind of look uniform. They're all in perfect rows, and you could tell people have went up and looked at them and stuff like that, but they're naked. They're out there with nothing. You know what? It's kind of embarrassing. Amen? But guess what? That's when the farmer is not expecting anything from the tree, but he's giving everything to the tree. I wish you'd hear this, because in your winter season, God is not expecting you to be a grape fruit producer. He's expecting you to receive a lot from individual care from the Father. So right now, if you're in a winter season and you don't think you're doing very good as a Christian and you feel like you're less than or broken down or weak, praise God, what God's trying to do right now is build the relationship between you and Him. He's going to work on you if you allow Him to in your winter season. He don't want your super spiritual fruit. What he wants you to do is work. Let him work on you where you can produce super spiritual fruit. So I wrote this. It's a one-on-one relationship. He gets personal with you during this time. The good thing about you being uncovered and not having all your fruit on you is you can't hide your weaknesses. It's hard to hide a weakness, or it's hard to show strength when you're in a hospital gown. Shut up, Kevin. Amen? Right? It's hard. Some of y'all are going through some stuff right now. It's hard to show strength. But God don't want to see your strength. He wants to see the weakness because he wants to work on it. Amen? And I got these down. That agriculture, but then He shapes you. He makes you. It's funny because you don't like the way God works on you sometimes, but what he's trying to do is he's trying to balance you out where you can get the most from him and the most from the world. See, they cut those trees where the tree limb at the bottom can get just as much sunshine as the limb at the top. Amen? Some of y'all are wondering why God cuts you so funny and makes you so different than the world. Because guess what? He wants some sunshine to hit in every part of your life, not just some parts that you want it to hit. And then guess what? He shapes you in such a way and cuts away unnecessary limbs where all the nutrients that's coming up out from on the ground can feed you too. Amen? So sometimes you'll say, why did you cut that limb off? I like doing that. He says, don't worry. I got enough to feed you from the top to the bottom. And that was access, and that would have took away. I forgot to put this in the message, so I'll just add it now. These guys are always spraying those trees. Did y'all know that? I left it out. I didn't leave it out today, thank God. Year-round, they're spraying. You know what that reminded me of? The preached word of God. Some of y'all are sitting there going, why in the world would I have to go to church all the time? Because you always need somebody to kind of come through and spray where the bugs don't get on you. Hey, man, where something don't, good God, hallelujah, where something don't get on you that's worse than what the product they're spraying on you is, amen? Where something don't get in you and infect you. You need a dose of holy spray every chance you can get. And he just runs up and down the road just spraying you down. Good Lord, that's good. Amen. I'm glad we didn't leave that out, Lord. He cuts on you. Goodness. I could spend the rest of the service right here, but I'm not. God told me to chop it down and make it decent, okay? He cuts on you. He prunes you. But he prunes you to bring you more fruit. And my favorite part of the pruning process is he's not afraid to cut something away from you that you love, that he loves, and the world loves, and you're known for. Woo! I'm serious. I talked to these guys, Chubby and Mark. They said they'll have a limb that's growing out a certain way, and it'll have a bunch of apples on it, and it's really producing, but they'll have two smaller limbs that could produce double of what that one is producing, so they take a gamble. They'll cut this in the wintertime. They will cut it, and that'll drop off, and that promised result will hit the ground on a potential place for something to grow back and give double. God will cut something back out of your life and you won't be able to see the potential. And you're sitting there going, you watch the limb fall off and you will get mad at God because you'll say, I like that. And you like that. And they like that. And I kind of found my identity in it. And now it's laying on the ground. Yeah, because your identity is not in that limb. Your identity is in me. I can remember when they told my dad that he couldn't ever go into the prison anymore because of his Alzheimer's. They told him, he said, I won't be who I am if I don't get to go to the prison anymore. And I got to tell him, Dad, number one, you're a child of God. Number two, you're a minister. Guess what? All of our ministries will fade away, but our child, our inheritance will not. Some of y'all need to hear that because some of y'all might be in a winter season of life and you think, praise God, that I am not who I was and that's who I was identified as. You are not identified to that. You're not identified by the thing that you produce. You're identified in Christ Jesus. The owner of the tree loves you more than you love you. He looks at you and he wants to get the most out of you. Golly. He'll cut away from you, and you'll watch it fall. And guess what? Then they bring this truck by, and I forget the name of it every time, but it's been a while. It's probably like a long time since I named it. But it has these paddles on it. And it goes through there, and it knocks out these sucker limbs. I got some suckers in my life. I just wanted to say it that way. You ever had some suckers in your life? They shoot straight up, and they grow really fast, and all they do is take away the good out of your life. And if you don't cut them out, they'll cause you to be fruitless. Any of y'all want to have an altar call right now? Or some of y'all want to come up here and cut some suckers out or help, let God help you cut them out. Them suckers are easy to get rid of. You don't mind them falling off and getting away. But then he comes in and he gets all the old fruit away. And these paddles come down through there. And they kick out all the old fruit. They kick out all the sucker limbs and all the old good limbs. And they just get rid of it completely. I think I said it this way. God gets rid of that because of the rats. Amen? Because if you leave old fruit and old limbs below, right below you, the rats will show up and they'll eat on you. Amen? So if you got a bunch of rot, rats will show up. Amen? And that rot, it'll start to decay and it'll start eating at your roots. Amen? And then I saw the, then I put that last R because I'm creative with three R's. Sorry. I put reminiscing. God will take old fruit and just hurl it out in the middle of nowhere. Because if you're not careful as a Christian, we'll always brag about what we used to do and not what we are doing or what we will do. We'll always brag about what God did in our presence yesterday, but we won't reach Him to get it today, and we won't reach it for tomorrow. Y'all okay? I know this is like medicine right now. It's getting a little long, but guess what? It's pretty good stuff. Because I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes God will come along with the old paddle truck, and He will take and He will clean your whole life out. And guess what? You'll have to start out like fresh. And you know what? God's okay with that, and you better get okay with it. Because there's going to be some winter times in your life that you're going to look down and you're not even going to recognize yourself. But God's still working on you. Amen? He cleaned it out. Then intense feeding. They bring in chemicals. Hard chemicals. Amen? pH balance. They try to get that thing balanced out. They can't feed it on. They can't give it these chemicals in the summer or the harvest season because it'll kill the fruit. They come in the winter and they intensely feed you. Oh, never mind. Praise God. Let me tell you this. If you are in a winter season, open your eyes and ears to God. Guess what? He will intensely feed you. And it will be some stuff that you think, man, that's about to kill me. It's almost like, what do they do? They give you chemo for cancer. The chemo is sometimes worse than the cancer, right? So guess what? God will come in with some intense messages, intense words, intense Bible script, intense answer to prayer to knock out to give you some balance. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. Calm down. Can y'all give me like 5 more minutes? Yeah, 3 of y'all shook your head yes. Golly, bum. It's like 2 of you went. In this process, sap. Sap. See, God is letting the stuff on the inside grow during this time. There's nothing on the outside. But there's something on the inside. If in your winter season, if you'll really seek the Lord and take that intense medicine and take that intense cutting and take all that, listen to this, all of a sudden you will feel something on the inside starting to rise up in you and you'll say, wait a minute, I can feel a spring coming. I can feel life coming. I can feel some fruit coming. You can't see it yet. You can't taste it yet. You can't feel it yet, but it's coming. Listen, I hate to tell you this, but on the inside, I feel like I've been in a winter season. I feel like I've been in a winter season. But praise God, scare some of y'all to death right here. I feel something coming. Whew. And it's like a bubbly, hot liquid. And it's coming to the top. And you know what? What God's trying to do is He's trying to produce out of the winter. Listen, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but right after the winter season, no matter what kind of, I don't care if it's a spiritual, I don't care if it's actual physical life, but praise God, you know what comes right after the winter season? Intense life. Y'all didn't get that. Intense life. See, in that winter season, for a fruit tree, when the spring sun rises up and the heat starts coming up, all of a sudden, all life in that place goes, poof. Amen? So if you're in a winter season right now and you let God do all this stuff in your life, praise God, there can be intense life, intense Christian life right on the other side of this winter season. And praise God, that's what I want. And some of y'all are sitting here going right now, but what if I'm in the winter season of my life? Because in the winter season of your life, you can feel like this is the least productive years that you have for Christ. That's a lie, but you can speak into younger people's lives if you got God to speak of. Amen. You can train up the next generation if you want to be a part of it. Get some patience. Get some stinking patience and get involved. Get dirty, get messy, show some weakness, show some scars. Somebody asked me one time, what can I do for this next generation? I need to train them up. I need to show them all my strengths. The things that you know what I told them? Show them your scars first, then you can show them your strengths. Praise God, show somebody your doggone scars, then you can show them your strength. But let's say this, you're right in the winter season of your life. Guess what's about to happen if you're a Christian? You're about to experience the most intense life you've ever experienced in your whole life. Some of y'all need to have a smile on your face, joy in your step, excitement. Praise God. And when somebody says, "What are you so excited about? You're a little older than you used to be," you can say, "I'm one step closer to glory." And the next, God, see, what's going to happen is, when I step from this life, I'm going to walk into intense life, and you'll be in heaven for about 10,000 years before you even recognize me, because the last time you seen me, I was 75. Now I'm looking like I'm about 25. Never mind. Glory to God. Somebody, I'm serious. Somebody in heaven's going to be standing there talking to you, and they'll be going like, "Your voice sounds familiar." And all of a sudden, I remember you. When you passed away, you were in a hospital. When you were in a hospital, you were dying. You were withering away. My God, I didn't even realize who I was talking to. Well, see, that was a winter season. Right after I drew my last breath, I stepped into intense living. See, this is how you remember me. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. I was dreading the thing that I should have been looking forward to more than anything. God says at the end of this time, 2020, He said, "You'll rejoice at a funeral and weep at a birth." If you ain't begun that yet, you must have your head in the sand. I hear people like right now saying, "Man, so-and-so passed away." I'm thinking, man, glory. I bet they're happy. And I hear somebody, "Hey, so-and-so just had a baby." I rejoice with that. I love that. But then I start thinking, oh my gosh, they're going to have to grow up in this. Hey, man, somebody better start the weapons training now. Let's all stand. I shouldn't have said that last part. That was all me. Come on, Harley. Y'all come finish. They're going to sing. As a matter of fact, we're going to worship out the door. Amen. So if you and the Lord have something that you need to work out, you can work it out where you sit at, or you can work it out on this altar. All right? Y'all just mind the Lord. I don't know what I did to the microphone.